Blind Cool Tech, March 22nd, 2006.
Blind Cool Tech, the show where life,
hey y'all,
technology,
hello,
and blindness,
hello, is anyone here? I can't see anything.
Comes together.
Please welcome your host, Larry Skukon.
Hey y'all, how are you? We're about to head down to a session that Peter Korn is giving, and hopefully he'll give us permission to record it. Let me see exactly what the name of it is here. I believe it's Java and GNOME. Oh, come on. Yeah. The latest news in Java and GNOME accessibility. This will include a demo of GNOME. Oh.
2.12 accessibility and accessible applications running in GNOME.
2.12 accessibility and applications running in GNOME. So I'm looking forward to seeing that. And GNOME is, by the way, well, Peter will tell us all this. It's a desktop. So I just shut the lid on my ThinkPad, and I believe I will take my bookport with me because I have the schedule on it. I'll just clip it to my shirt collar. This is in the Atlanta room, which is down the escalator, and we hadn't been down there yet. Oh, I need my badge. I forgot that this morning. But I believe nobody bothered to check. All right. Bring it around our neck here. So we're going to the Atlanta room. And we are again on the lobby floor, so we'll be heading out. Good boy, little buddy. To the left and then to the right. Jacob, you don't want to go down this way, buddy. Come on. You always want to go to the right, but we want to go to the left. What's up with that? I'm going to take this one. I got cords hanging off of me everywhere. The geek from Geek Central. Good doggy, little buddy. Yeah, let's take it slow through here. Is that our same lady? Hi, how are you?
Fine, thanks.
All right, we're going to go straight past the elevators. Good boy, little buddy. And take a left. That's it. Let's go right. Let's go outside. Right. Right. I think you passed it. Maybe not. Let's go back in. Let's go get the escalator. Right. 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 There you go. That's it. There you go. Good boy. Okay. That's my little buddy. So it's kind of right around the corner. A tight little thing. We're going to make a U-turn at the bottom of this. That's it right there. Good boy. That's it. Good doggy. Good stripe. I'm sorry, excuse me. Let's go stripe. Up. I'm not going to put up with it, Jake. What room is this? Let's go back. Go back. Go back.
Thank you.
Let's go back.
No.
How about?
Well, he did tell me that he knew we were coming in.
Do y'all know what room that is right there?
What? Sorry? This is the Atlanta room.
Oh, okay.
Are you going in here?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Is that other session out already?
Gotcha.
Out of there?
What? I'm sorry?
Is that other session out already?
Yes. Yeah, you can go in for that.
Okay. Yeah. Let's get up front. Up. Oh, I need to go to this room. Let's go straight. Let's try. Hey.
The very front of the room.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hey,
sorry.
Peter.
Hi, Pete.
Larry. Hey,
Larry.
Do you mind if I record you for
all.
A podcast?
Not at all.
Oh, great. Is there
Give
a seat
me a
up?
Coffee, if you would. There's a seat at 11 o'clock. No, sorry. 1 o'clock.
Left or right? Thanks, Peter. Let's see, Jake, you can probably get it.
Thank you. Thank you.
Huh? sorry. What was that? No.
Hey, David.
Yeah.
It's Larry. How's it going?
All right. I didn't get your phone call.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Hmm. Well, you're on BCT right now.
Oh, I am. All right. Hello, BCT. Fantastic.
Yeah, you want to do breakfast in the morning?
Sure.
Have you played much with GNOME? And Copernicus? And I tried it out about, a couple months ago, and it wasn't there for me, but I hope maybe they've made some improvements. You know, there's this thing called Orca now, too.
And yeah, I messed with that a little bit.
Did you? I hadn't tried
that.
Didn't
have a whole lot of luck with it.
Hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Come to find out, I thought it had like a 20 gig hard drive in it. It didn't. It had an 8 gig hard drive.
Man, you know what? If you're doing that.
It was almost 6 gig full.
Yeah.
Just with the character base.
I know it.
Oh, God.
Yeah. It's big.
Okay. I just wanted to let you
so
know.
So now I've got to.
You know, somebody was wanting to, like a audio recording of how to set it up without any visual help or anything.
Mm-hmm.
You ought to do that, man. It's actually pretty easy to do. If you have an external synthesizer, that is.
Yeah, well, yeah, I've got an express, but I don't think that would probably work.
You know, I don't know. I don't know about that.
I've got a camera gold that somebody sent back that might work in accent mode.
It might.
Because I think if I put a camera gold, I'm pretty sure I can put it in accent SA mode.
Yeah. Well, that's reaching way back, isn't it?
Listen.
What's that?
My cube got moved.
Your what?
2 days before I went on vacation to Orlando, they moved my cube.
Mm-hmm.
And I was complaining at the phone call about the new cube. My new cube, the double cube.
Whoa. Nice.
All right. Finally enough room to do something.
That sounds like my office.
But there's 5 of us in our apartment. And they put it my way. And I'm the only one with the apartment other than the director. But
in what department are you with then?
Adaptive Technology Department. State Services for Blind in Minnesota.
And you ought to tell people about this radio show you do. We've talked about that a couple times.
Well, I need to do a career thing.
You sure do.
It's just, I need to take the time and sit down.
Yeah. You know what? It doesn't take long once you just get your thoughts together and just sit down, let her rip. Man.
You know what I ought to do is one night when I do. Now that I've got a WS320.
There you go.
Sit down and do it.
Yeah. Exactly.
So I'm trying to pick and choose things that they don't know a lot about.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, well, I'm not going to the magic presentation. They know about magic.
Yeah. Yeah.
But don't they?
Yeah.
And then I lost my notes, so hard to get this. And you know how that is, too.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I did have that. So what time would you propose breakfast?
Early.
What do you mean by early? I always ask that because...
As soon as they open...
Because I catch the bus for work at 5:15 a.m.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, I think they open at 6 over here. You want to do it over here?
That's fine. 6 o'clock over here?
Yeah, you got your way back and forth down pretty good?
Not completely, but we'll see if Trekker can get me. I'm learning.
Oh, you're using a tracker?
I'm in learning mode of a tracker.
Wow, man. You don't have any binaural mics, do you?
No.
That'd be neat to record a session with that.
I was hoping I'd get good enough with it. Maybe I could do something with it. If nothing else, I could put a rubber band around the recorder, put it right below the speaker, and it should pick me and the speaker both up.
Yeah. Is it doing good enough, like with these buildings around here? Is it keeping satellites?
It's done all right.
Yeah.
It did one hell of a lot better than it did. I tell you, when I had the least success with it, it was last summer down there.
Is that right?
You know that from the hotel all the way down to TGI, you know where that is?
Yeah.
It's what, I'd say 4 blocks?
About
four
that,
or five
yeah.
Blocks. I'd say 90% of the time I couldn't get a signal.
But you're getting one here, though, huh?
Yeah. Buildings aren't near as close together.
Yeah, or as tall, either.
Right. But down there, it was awful.
So what's it tell you as you're walking down? Does it tell you every business you're passing?
Pretty much, yeah.
So what kind of stuff's between here and there?
Well, there's not a whole lot between here and there.
Have you been walking further on down, too?
That's why I said I've been training. I've only made the trip once.
Okay. Yeah. You know what, David?
I'm going to look and see what if anything was happening I really want to go to. And if not, I'm going to try going back and forth a couple of times, you know?
Yeah.
Because I kind of cheated this morning. It was on when I was walking with somebody.
Yeah.
So it's like...
Oh, anytime I can cheat, I do too.
Yeah, well, I agree. A friend of mine from San Luis called me and said, well, let's have breakfast. And Scott from UMSL, the University of San Luis, is here.
I invited him for breakfast with us, and Scott was nice enough to walk over here with us.
Yeah. Batteries.
Out of batteries and none in the case. Yeah. They're all in the suitcase.
Oh, I always put new ones
typical?
In. Yeah. hey, do you have Wi-Fi access in your room?
Yeah.
I'm getting it free from the Sheraton across the street.
Oh, that's nice.
I don't see any Marriott connections at all.
Because Marriott's not charging $10 for it, only in the lobby.
Oh, that's you can't get it in the room at all.
Okay, so what side of the hotel are you on? I'm having to move you there. I need water.
I'm on the opposite side from the front door, all the way in the back. The Sheraton's right across the street. You can look out my window and see the Sheraton.
Okay.
And it says free access from
the
Sheraton.
All hotels nowadays, except for this
one,
offer you free wireless. Okay, so
well,
right, that way.
The Hilton has free access in the rooms.
You know what? I don't know what direction I'm facing right now at all.
Well, I thought she said it was free. I don't know how you well, I'll pay the ticket.
And I can use the wireless to work. There's some plugging in.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you, I was so tired last night, I didn't even try it.
Yeah, I was too.
We were just on time
it's the opposite side of the hotel from the front door. Because the Sheraton's on that next block behind this hotel. And I'm just on the second floor, and it's a good... It's a slow connection, but if you just do an email, it's fine.
That's all I want is I want to be able to check my email. And I want to be able to go online and check the conference schedule.
Yeah.
Because the CD they gave us is the most disgustingly pathetic piece of crap I've seen.
Really? What's wrong with it? I hadn't checked it out yet.
So the CD information they give us has sessions by hotel.
Well, I sort of.
So one file for which hotel they're each in. And it's literally just the session title.
No description, no presenter.
Well, you know what? This morning I went in on the web one and did just the VI ones for all three or four days, and it gave me 58 of them right in a row. I just sent them over to this thing. It was that easy.
Well, see, that's the problem is I couldn't find that on the CD because... So then it had a section called 2006 Conference Book.
Yeah.
You open that up... And it literally has a bunch of files called 1 to 50, 15 to 30.
What does that mean?
I'm infuriated.
Well, that I guess that online one is definitely the way to go.
That's ridiculous.
Hey, I'm Larry, by the way.
I'm Lucy.
Lucy, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Where are you from, Lucy?
Berkeley.
Oh, are you with Peter Korn?
No, I actually work for UC Berkeley.
Oh. What do you do there?
I'm the assistant technology specialist.
Really?
Yeah.
Hey, you don't mind if I record you for a podcast I'm doing here, do you?
Right now?
I mean, I can cut this part out because I was going to record this session with Peter in it here. I do this thing called Blind Cool Tech, and I'm just recording while we're talking.
My coworker Jim would just be thrilled.
Really? Jim Gannon?
He listens to it all the time, yeah.
Jim Gannon? You're kidding me. Is he here?
No, he's not.
Oh. Well, you tell him hi.
I will.
If you don't mind me recording you. Yeah, he sent in a couple of things to, like, run it. Did he tell you about him running over the guitar?
Yeah.
I love that. Now, what do you do there?
I run the lab for all the disabled students. Basically, I do assessments and training on different technologies and then administrate the lab.
Well, sounds like quite a job.
Oh, yeah.
How many students you got coming through that?
I'm seeing about 100 a semester, but
is that right?
It seems to increase each semester. I mean, this is only my second semester. Last semester I saw about 65. When we did my statistics, it was at 50, and then another 15 came in type of thing.
Yeah.
This semester I've already seen all those students again, and probably the same amount over again.
Wow.
The lab was left vacant for over a year without an administrator, and students kind of faded away. They're starting to come back now that we exist.
Oh, okay. Now, what does Jim do over there?
He works with academic accommodations for the students.
With the what now?
That does the academic accommodations.
Oh, okay.
So, he's basically their academic counselor for, you're having problems with this, or we make sure they get their services.
Uh-huh. Okay.
All that kind of fun stuff.
Yeah.
Ready.
Context menu, text document, context sub menu, exit
point.
That's what it said in the program. Well, this might be the Java part of it. Java? It was Java and GNOME. What are you looking at over there, Jagsters? Have a seat.
Half of my territory is Ramsey County.
Oh, is there another dog over there?
Hello.
Hi there.
The other half.
My name is Cindy.
Hi, Cindy. Cindy, I'm Larry.
Hi. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Hi, Cindy.
Hi.
I'm North of Third.
That is Jake.
I'm a fan.
Can you hear me in the back? Okay, my name is Lynn Monsanto. I'm an accessibility engineer at Sun Microsystems. This is Peter Korn. We're going to be talking about topics in Java and GNOME accessibility and bring you up to date on a number of things and let you know what's happening in the future. So I'll start out. Slow down a little bit? Okay. I'm going to slow down a little bit so my partner here can sign at a comfortable rate here. Okay, so the agenda here is I'm going to give an update on what's happening in on the Java 2 platform and also with the Java Accessibility Bridge. And then Peter will take it from here. Okay, so the first topic is the Java 5 platform. You may also know it as JDK 1.5. So it's currently shipping, and it was a major release. That is, this was a release where we planned a lot of changes, and not just for accessibility. So, but as far as accessibility goes, the main areas where we made changes were in APIs for supporting GNOME accessibility. So the accessibility API is implemented in Java Swing, but it's also a definition, which means it can be implemented on other platforms, for example, non-Java platforms, for example, GNOME. So primarily we handled the kind of extended requirements for GNOME accessibility. These were things like API changes for text handling, property change events. So different kinds of events are now being fired for, say, text changes, for example, that the assistive technologies can use for presenting information about, say, text or other GNOME components. In addition, we added quite a number of new roles. Roles are things like that tell you the type of object, for example, whether something is a combo box or a spinner or that kind of thing. In addition, new states. And we had to add quite a few new states to support rich text for things like letting an AT know that you have a run of, say, some attributes, for example. In addition, there were changes to Swing, not particularly related to accessibility, but nonetheless, there are two new components. The first one is a progress monitor, which for someone who has sighted gives a visual indication of the progress of some activity, for example, loading a file into a text editor. But for someone who is not sighted, an AT will provide information about the, say, the percentage completion of an activity. The next component is a spinner, which to a sighted person presents a component that has a couple little up and down arrows that you can click and cycle through, say, a number of choices. And they're generally constrained choices like, say, colors or text sizes or that kind of thing. But the API provides the ability for assistive technology to present this, in alternate forms, braille, speech, that kind of thing. And also provides the ability for an assistive technology to actually manipulate the values in the spinner. And of course, bug fixes. Support for assistive technology is a constantly changing thing. So, you know, new requirements come up. People exercise Java accessibility in new ways, and of course, they find bugs. So, one of the key things we need to do is fix them in a timely manner as they come up. The next topic is Java 6. And it's currently in development in beta release. Hold on half a second, please. Okay, I think we're back here. Okay, so it's currently in beta release, and it's a fit and finish release. So we didn't want to have two releases back to back that had a lot of changes since we introduced new APIs, new roles, things like that. We needed an opportunity for people to adopt the new functionalities, and so we didn't want to hit them with a lot of new stuff back to back. So we call it a fit and finish release. That is, we wanted to catch the things that didn't make it into the previous release because we found the requirements too late in the development cycle. API support is important for developers, so the number of changes were minimal. One thing that was important was we're currently adding much better support for HTML and text processing. And of course, bug fixes. You'll see that as a current thing. And finally, the Java Access Bridge for Windows. We've had a lot of requests from customers, primarily at the show, who said, well, some things about the Access Bridge work just fine, but there are other things that, well, to be honest, they don't work that well. One thing is the installer. So we worked very carefully with AT vendors and customers to try to identify the places in the Access Bridge that were causing people, you know, more difficulty than they needed to have. Also, we wanted to define features for AT vendors so that they can provide better support in their products for Java. So concerning installation, we now use Install Shield, which is pretty much a standard Windows installation program. So if you're familiar at all with using Install Shield, which I'm sure almost all of you are, you'll have no problem when you come to the Access Bridge. And I'll have some screenshots later on I'll show you. We also added new APIs, primarily at the behest of AT vendors. We're doing things like improving bridge efficiency to make it possible to get large amounts of information in fewer calls, and particularly fewer inter-process communication calls. So the Access Bridge is a lot faster doing common activities. We also included a lot better support for HTML and text handling, and for focus and other property change event kind of handling. I think, you know, as you look at the support that, say, Supernova, JAWS, ZoomText, other AT vendors have for Java, I think you'll see significant improvements. And where you don't see improvements or where you find that you still have problems, please make sure you let us know, because, you know, we can't make the changes unless we find out about them. We have two existing tools for developers. First, Java Ferret and Java Monkey. For you, it's Ferret, like the small animal that runs around and chases little animals and things like that. And Monkey, of course, is a thing that swings through trees. Okay. And of course, bug fixes. So the Java Ferret and Java Monkey are greatly improved in the amount of information and the way they present it, and logging information to text files so that you can review a large sequence of events. So here's what the installer looks like. No surprises here. You have a wizard here. That comes up and it says, "Welcome to Install Shield Wizard for Java Accessibility Bridge." And in this case, it's saying that using this, it'll allow you to modify, repair, or remove the Access Bridge. Now, this isn't the first. This is like the second time you might run it, when you might be doing an upgrade or removing or something. And then it has your typical buttons like next, cancel, that kind of thing. The next shot shows the wizard in a program maintenance mode. So now you have three choices to either modify, repair, or remove. And so your screen reader would be reading these to you, and you could choose one of them, and then you have your typical back, next, and cancel buttons. No surprises there. And then finally, and this is something that requires a little bit of explaining, because what I'm showing here now is the Access Bridge, and there's the main kind of dialog, and in front of it is a modeless dialog that says, "Searching disks for Java installations, please wait, this may take several minutes," and it has a cancel button. Okay, so this is where the bulk of the work the installer does. It does it in two passes. The installer searches all of the hard disks on your system and looks for Java applications. And for each Java application it finds, it runs a small test program. And the test program, it runs a small Java application, and it sees whether that particular Java application can support the Access Bridge. If it can, it adds that Java installation to a list to be installed upon. The second pass is, once that list is built, then the Access Bridge goes through every Java installation on that disk and copies the appropriate files, which involves a couple Java jar files and a properties file. And finally, there are, you know, the standard three Windows DLLs that are copied to the Windows 32 directory. And that's it. So I'm about ready to ask any questions. I see some hands. That's all I have for right now. So can I take any questions, please? Okay, we have two. How would you like me to? We have two. Can I see? Flip your.
Lucy.
Can you give an example of what? I mean, most of us do know what some are, but give an example of one application and what the modifications that would be made to it are.
I don't quite understand your question. You should have. You mean to get a job application to run under?
No. So it's searched my hard drive. Give me an example of what it's found and then what modifications it's made to it.
Oh, okay. So here's what it does. Okay. Sorry, I didn't understand quite the question you were asking. Okay, so what it does is it searches, it recursively walks your directory hierarchy in that hard drive, and then when it finds a file, for example, java.exe, which is a Java interpreter, then it runs a little Java application. And what that Java application does is it just exercises that JDK, okay, and sees whether it has, it's the kind of JDK that will support the, you know, access bridge. If it can, then it copies three jar files to your JRE live ext directory. This is probably more information than many of you want to know. And then it copies one accessibility.properties file to your JRE live directory. And that's all it does.
Got it.
Did that answer your question?
Yeah, so it's a simple removal if it breaks something. That's what I was worried about.
Oh, yes. And one thing that we do have is we have all the information we need for you to, heaven forbid, manually deinstall this. But running the installer again or going to the add remove programs in your control panel will also remove the access bridge. I would just notify we don't have too many times for too many questions, so can we save the rest of them until the end then, please? And then, of course, I'll be in the booth, and you can ask anybody, and we can have as long a discussion as you would like.
I don't mean to say that we can't have a discussion about Java and the Access Bridge, but we have a lot of other things on the agenda too, and to make sure we have time for those as well as questions, I hope I can beg your patience to hold more of the questions until the end. Thanks. So one of the, well, I'm going in the wrong direction. One of the other questions is, you know, okay, now that I've installed the access bridge, apologies to the podcast that's now that we've installed this, of course, we can work with Java apps, but I thought it would also be interesting, since we've done a lot of that in years past, and we've seen, okay, it's a Java app, there's nothing new, nothing special here. Come to our booth if you want to see that again. One of the other things that's very interesting is that we reuse the Java Access Bridge for access to StarOffice and OpenOffice, which are not themselves Java applications, but they make use of the Java Access Bridge because we don't have any other real mechanism of communicating all of the rich information that we need to for an application as complex as StarOffice. And so this lovely bank of heat warmers behind me are an attempt to actually give several demos of several different assistive technologies, the latest from our friends at Dolphin Supernova, AI Squared Zoom Text, and JAWS 7, all working with the Java Access Bridge, in particular, though, with StarOffice. And we're actually having a more lengthy presentation on Star Office Accessibility tomorrow, where we'll go into far more depth. So, oh, I keep pressing the wrong button. So, let us first look at the system running Windows. That would be, I have to find my mouse. Or my keyboard.
Or my computer.
What time is the Star Office presentation and where?
The Star Office presentation is Thursday from 10:40 to 12:30 here in this room. Going to do this out of order. Okay, so on this system I've got Star Office and I should have JAWS running. This is our favorite screen reader from Florida, JAWS. And
submenu to move through items, press up or down arrow and text document. Escape.
As you would expect, it's happily reading menus. It will happily read
H menu bar E L L escape leaving menus edit H E L L O space T H E, comma, space.
And so on, if I go to
F6,
the...
F6, file, F6, copy button unavailable, insert F1L, C,
toolbar.
Paste button, insert F1L.
I can go through the toolbar and read the items there quite happily. All of the basic things that you would expect are continuing to work here. And this is through the latest Java Access Bridge 2.0. And now, with my Able Assistant's help, we'll see if we can get to the Windows XP machine. Can't find the keyboard for it.
Was that Star Office that he was just in, or did he say what he was in? What
yes,
program?
It's Star Office,
oh, okay.
Yes.
I must have zoned off.
We seem to be having some slight hardware difficulties. So.
That was pretty impressive.
Well, he's fixing that. Can you show any of the other applications in Star Office? Or is that all
the other assistive technologies in Star Office?
No, such as the presentation.
Or calc or stuff like
yeah.
that. So those are slated for, I've got actually all of that material set up for the presentation tomorrow. However, while we're dealing with some of these keyboard and mouse issues, now would be an excellent time to take some of the Java Access Bridge and Java questions. And I believe the second person whose hand was up was right next to Lucy in the front row.
But, I'm behind a few versions, but that's only because my company is using 1.4.
Okay.
And it installed just fine with the Windows installer. I was wondering why you just didn't go there right from the start with this, the accessible bridge.
In 2020 hindsight, you're 100% correct. We should have done that right at the beginning, but we didn't make the right decision there. So we're fixing that right now.
Never had any issues.
Yeah, yes. Red? Yes, go ahead.
Two questions. Number one, can I still do a manual install if I wanted to?
Yes. We supply we supply both the install sheet version and the manual install for situations where the installer just does not understand your configuration.
And the other question is, because I deal with different versions and betas and all that kind of stuff, is there some mechanism to figure out what version I actually have on my system, other than looking at file size? Anything that I could run to say, you've got version 2.0 or you've got version 1.4?
Yes. The simplest thing to do is to look at the DLLs and System32 directory and look at the properties. So when you when you click on it and bring up the properties dialog, it will tell you the version, all the version information.
Okay.
And you can do that for actually any of the files that have the property information.
Also, Ferret will tell you.
Oh, also if you run Ferret, it will also tell you.
Okay.
I'm going to take in the back.
Justine.
Justine, I'm sorry, I didn't see.
There's a very good need for that. A lot of things have to do with, you know, resources and relative priorities, but I'd like to talk about it later. As it turns out, once again, you know, we try to listen to people's needs as much as possible. We'd like to hear more about, you know, the way in which you might be using something, and so we can come up with the best solution given our resources. Well, yes, there is one thing that can help partly. And that's a Java accessibility helper. But what that thing does is it runs through a Java application and looks for the most common problems that people make, like, for example, not assigning accessible names or descriptions to things. So it will not actually verify that your application is accessible, but it will find things that are impediments to accessibility. So that's a partial solution right now. But I think what you're asking are for things that can do standardized kind of like regression testing, right? Yeah, that's a very good idea. Front blue.
Two questions. The first one being for the Java access bridge, is there any communication even if your licensing is allowed for them to package it with certain vendors and they'd be open to that so that the user is required to install. One of the things I've noticed is from people who are new to Java, they are wondering why the Java application, which they've been pretty successful, doesn't work, and it's simply because they need to go down most of the access bridge and install.
Right. So the question is basically, how come the access bridge isn't just kind of automatically installed when you either install the JDK or your favorite screen reader? That's a thorny issue that we've been struggling with for a long time. As far as the second issue having to do with how come it's not installed with the JDK, it has to do with some internal procedures and that make it very, very difficult for us to do that. One of the reasons is we're on a very different release schedule than they are. So we are working on ways of hopefully solving that problem, but we don't have a solution for that right now. Concerning with AT vendors providing the access bridge, please contact your favorite AT vendor and we'd be happy to work with them.
The second question.
Oh, I'm sorry.
About the installer. It searches the hard drive, and that's definitely a lengthy operation sometimes when you've got the mass storage. What have you looked into other solutions to that? By any chance, maybe if the person knows where their JRE installs are, they can specify such.
So the question is, hey, for a user that understands the procedures very well, couldn't you have an option that allows people to say, look in these certain locations, only install there as a way of making things faster. We have looked at that, and as a matter of fact, the earlier version of the installer did exactly that. It would find the Java applications and give you a list. Well, it turns out that on the whole, you know, there's the pros and cons of everything, right? But on the whole, that caused a lot more problems than it solved, because most people thought, well, why should I have to pick the JDK? I don't even know which JDK my particular application is using. And so
we made the decision that even though it's a lengthy process to manually search, that was the easiest for the user. Okay, they have to wait longer. That's the trade-off, but it finds all the JDKs without accidentally skipping them or if the user makes a mistake. So it's a trade-off, but that's the answer to your question.
You can still do it manually.
Yes, you can still do it manually. But a very, very good question, and we wrestled with that for a long time. Right behind? Yes.
Yeah, I'm just wondering if this version of the Access Bridge works with Oracle products.
Yes, it does. As a matter of fact, we worked quite a bit with Oracle, with Don Reichs at Oracle. He was an early and very helpful adopter of this. And so, yes, so it works quite well with JInitiator, JDeveloper, and the normal installation procedure. As it goes along, it sees, there's a JDK directory inside either JInitiator or JDeveloper, and it runs its test, finds out, hey, I can install here, and it does it.
And you can use the installer?
Yes, yes. So, yeah, that... We feel quite good about that because Oracle was extremely helpful working with us. Right there, please.
Right.
Yes, you.
Does the newer version help the accessibility of older Java applications? In other words, simply by installing the updated Java Access Bridge, are some of the Java applications any more accessible than they were previously?
Yes, with the exception of JDK 1.1.x, which is in the far distant past covered with, so we don't even support JDK 1.1.x. It turns out that Oracle does have some JInitiator that runs on 1.1.x. This version of the Access Bridge does not support it because of backward compatibility issues with the JDK. It actually won't even run. Okay. Java won't even run. Sure. But the answer to your question is yes. Backward compatibility has always been a goal. If we break backward compatibility, that's a bug. Justine, one last question?
Yeah, I just want to let people know if you have any further questions about Oracle application accessibility, feel free to come and find me. I'm Oracle accessibility.
Yes, and thank you, Justine, for...
Thank you very much, Lynn, for covering for me while the demos were acting up. So I'm afraid that for a better demonstration of what ZoomText and Supernova are doing with Java applications and with StarOffice, I'll have to ask you to come to our booth later today or come to our session tomorrow at 10:40 to 12:30. We're having some video projection problems that are limiting our ability to show that. The other thing, though, that I very much wanted to talk about is Sunray product. Sunray is a network terminal that allows for very nice remote access to desktop sessions. This is a Sunray network terminal right here. It's got no hard drive in it. It has very little CPU. It's very much like a telephone handset, where if you want a new one, you just take one out of the closet and plug it in, because all of the smarts are in the server. And Sun loves selling servers, so we really like this idea. And the server is able to serve multiple desktop sessions simultaneously. And so anyone can go to any Sunray terminal and have their full, rich graphical session. When they're done, they leave, and the thing goes back to waiting for somebody else to come along. And one of the interesting things that we're able to show this year is Sunray access to Windows sessions. Windows Server 2003 allows you to have multiple graphical sessions connected remotely, and we can now route that to a Sunray. And in fact, the demo that I was giving you a few moments ago of Jaws reading a have to connect to the right video display of Jaws reading a Star Office was actually running on the Sunray. This machine here is simply running the Windows session in a window. I could also run it full screen. But what that means then is not only do I have access to Windows and to assistive technologies running in Windows, those assistive technologies that support terminal server, like JAWS, but I have access to the normal GNOME session. So here I have my Solaris GNOME desktop with all of its accessibility features continuing to run. And one of the other really neat things about Sunray is that the Sunray session is tied to my smart card, or should be tied to my smart card. And I can move that session from Sunray to Sunray simply by moving the smart card with me, and the server says, oh, you've left your Sunray, let me detach the session. When you insert the card on another Sunray, it says, oh, you've come to a different machine, let me give you your session again. And this is very nice. We use this at Sun all the time if we want to move from our office to a conference room, to a colleague's office, and our session comes with us. Our Windows assistive technology, in this case, can come with us as well. And that's the beauty of what we're doing now with Sunray and Windows accessibility. So as you're seeing here, if I want the JAWS session, I can just go to the JAWS or Windows session.
New button, insert F1 pen.
And it's just right here. If I close the Star Office application.
F10. Menu bar, file to navigate, press left menu, exit to move through items, press up or down arrow, enter, leaving menus, gray tab, discuss space. Control escape, start menu, internet, 1 of 8, to navigate, press up or down arrow.
And now I've got my normal complete Windows session running right here. If I were to log out of this session,
I toolbar shutdown button, new toolbar log off button, enter, leaving menu.
I'm back to just the Sunray session. I tell it I want to connect to the system, and up it comes here, and I can actually have the normal Windows assistive technologies running at this point as well. So if I want to turn on the magnifier, I have the Windows magnifier running right here at the login screen. So what's really nice then, moving back to the slides, what's really nice with the combination of what we're doing with Java, the Java Access Bridge, and supporting Windows assistive technologies, with Sunray, and with what we're doing with GNOME accessibility, we can have all of these worlds at the same time. So I'd like to show you a little bit of what we are doing for GNOME accessibility and the Unix open source accessibility. GNOME has just reached version 2.14. It turned 2.14 about a week ago. And new, since we started shipping GNOME and Solaris, is Dasher. Dasher is a new assistive technology for people with severe physical impairments. It is an alternate text entry system for head tracker and eye gaze users. We've made a number of changes to accessible login to make the process of running assistive technologies at the login desktop easier to configure. The screen lock dialog now has some accessibility support built into it so that it, for example, knows when I'm starting to type a password to reset the timeout, you know, on a very basic 508 thing. Also, we've got support for the screen reader running at the screen lock dialog. And we have a new assistive technology that we're developing called Orca. And Orca's coming out party is tomorrow at 1:45 p.m. And then at 3:05 p.m., there's a second Orca session on how to write custom scripts for Orca, because Orca is an open source scripting screen reader. Beyond the core GNOME desktop, we've been doing a lot with key open source applications such as Firefox and Evolution. The latest Evolution is coming along very nicely with assistive technologies and with Orca. And we've been doing a lot of work with StarOffice and also OpenOffice. And these are both part of the forthcoming release of Solaris, which we are demoing in the booth. Unfortunately, the demo gods are not smiling upon me today, so my ability to show that in this session is somewhat limited. I will make one last game try and see how far we get. So here we are back at the GNOME desktop. I can go ahead and bring up Dasher. Oh, sorry. Are we there? Are we on the screen? So here I have Dasher. And how Dasher works is you have some sort of head mouse or eye tracker that is driving actual mouse movement. So where I look is where the mouse moves. And if I want to say something like type the words hello, what I would do is I would look at, oh, it's at far too high a speed. I would just look at the letter H. And the more I look at it, the larger it becomes. And inside the letter H is another alphabet off to the right. And that alphabet is not of equal size. Because Dasher knows that I'm trying to enter text in English, it knows that the letter after H, if I'm beginning a word, is probably a vowel. In fact, E is the most likely letter, followed by O. And so E is the largest target to look at. So I would continue to look at E. Now, after E, most likely is R for typing the word here. I'm not interested in that. I'm trying to say hello. So instead, I would look upwards at the L. And after one L, you almost never have anything else but a second L if you're typing H-E-L. So that is extremely large. And here we have hello, there. Hello there, T-H-E-R-E, space, how are you? H-O-W, space, R, space, U.
Is it strictly letter prediction, or is it predicting the words as well?
So what it's doing is it's a letter. So Lucy asked the question, is this strictly letter prediction? It is word prediction, but you're seeing it a letter at a time. And basically what you're doing, for those who can't see this demo, you're effectively flying through a series of boxes. And these boxes are of different sizes, different targets for you to fly through or look at. And the sizes of the targets are statistically based on the likelihood of them following the previous target that you went through. what's interesting about this is people who can do nothing but move their eyes and have spent several weeks learning this system are getting about 35 word per minute typing rates, which is rather phenomenal. And this is an open source, free assistive technology that is part of the open source GNOME desktop that is available on Unix systems and runs on Solaris. The other neat thing is I can tell this not only to type text up in the little text field on top, I can tell it, you know, I'd like you to enter this text into Star Office or into the URL of my web browser or into the form in my web browser. Anywhere where you can enter text from a keyboard, Dasher can target for its text entry. So for writing books. When I've made a mistake, I just look to the left and it backs up my text. And that gets deleted from the screen, it gets deleted from Star Office, it gets deleted from whatever application I'm entering text into. So this is one of the neat new things in GNOME, in the latest releases of GNOME. So returning then to the slides, can't resist ending without a sales pitch. We really feel that the combination of Sunray to access to your Windows sessions, Solaris to access all of the rich open source GNOME accessibility features, the ability with Sunray to take the hard drive away from everyone's desk, to deliver accessibility to every desktop, not just the few machines you've installed your expensive assistive technology on, and the ease of backup and system administration makes a really wonderful combination. You effectively have the best of both worlds, the best of Windows accessibility, the best of Unix accessibility, the ease of maintenance, and so on. And of course, all of this runs on Solaris. And for those of you who were here last year, you remember Solaris is open source and Solaris is a free download that can run on any x86 platform. So I will leave us with the resources page of URLs for the Java platform, the Java Access Bridge, Solaris 10, Open Solaris, Sunray, and GNOME. And let's use the remaining time for questions. Question in the front row.
Me?
Yes.
Is this Sunray available now, and does it have the monitor and speakers and everything that you need to be able to look at and hear everything?
Yeah. Sunray is shipping today from Sun. We've actually been shipping Sunray for a few years now. What's new is the connection to supporting Windows assistive technologies. And Sunray is available as a box without a monitor for a couple $100. Or a box with a monitor. In both cases, it comes with speakers. In both cases, it has USB ports, four of them. Audio in, audio out, and of course, video out. And we'll have those at the booth. You can get your mitts on them and see what they're really like.
And it's practical to use that today, to run Unix applications.
It's practical to use today. There is some latency involved in going over the network to complex sessions. Mm-hmm. That latency varies with how much load you have on the system, how much load you have on the network, how big of a server you have. The ideal place for Sunray is an enterprise. A user who's got a dedicated PC will get more responsiveness with their own CPU and without having to stretch an audio connection over a network. But for an enterprise, for the ability to say, this is a public library and we would like to serve anyone who walks in the door, whatever their needs, this is an ideal solution.
Yeah.
There was a question in the back, and then I'll get to you, Lucy. So I'm going to repeat the questions for the podcasts. The question was, what is the progress on making the Solaris install itself accessible? The graphical Solaris install is not accessible today. Solaris can be installed multiple ways. One of the ways you can install it is a text-only install. And if you, on most hardware, certainly all Spark hardware, and most of the modern x86 hardware, depends upon the BIOS. If a keyboard is not plugged in and you're doing a text-only install, it will route that text to the serial port at 9600 baud, 96891. So you can do a text-only Solaris install by connecting some other computer to the serial port using your favorite screen reader or other assistive technology on the serial port. There are also ways of configuring Solaris to be installed over the network, which is you target a system and say, go install on there. Solaris 11, or Solaris Next, is moving to Grub and some of the other more common Linux multi-boot systems, which also will ease the ability to make that accessible install. Lucy, and then I think there's another question on my right side of the room, but Lucy first.
The Sunray can also support a Mac?
So the question is,
yes or no?
Can the Sunray support Macintosh? The way Sunray supports Windows is that the Sunray server software is an RDP client. So the Sunray server speaks Windows Terminal Server on one end and Sunray on the other end and connects the two. There are some open source tools like VNC that would allow you to have a remote X session to a Macintosh. It's not part of the Sunray formal product. I can talk to you more about that in the booth. But basically with X Windows, anything that has a remote X session could work there. One of the challenges is that a lot of what the Macintosh does is render graphics through the video card and makes very heavy use of video hardware acceleration to do all of its lovely features. Those things won't work over a network connection. They just consume too much bandwidth to do effectively over a network connection.
Is there a minimum bandwidth you require?
For Sunray, the minimum bandwidth, it really depends upon what you're doing. If you are not running assistive technologies and you're not running a graphics-heavy session, we can actually run this over a DSL line. We use something called wavelet compression that compresses the images on the fly. As you start doing more intensive things, if you wanted to run speech on top of that, if you wanted to run a Windows session on top of that, if you wanted to attempt to do magnification on top of that, you're rapidly eating more and more bandwidth up to a 100 base T connection.
That's not bad.
So, next to Justine. The question is, he's a MATLAB user, which I presume is as a Java application. And the question is, if he were to move to the new Access Bridge, would it find MATLAB and would it do the right thing? You want to take that or shall I just go ahead?
The short answer is yes. The slightly longer answer is I have not tested that myself. But it should work just fine. There's no reason it should not.
If it's using any one of Sun's Java virtual machines or the Oracle Java virtual machine, the Access Bridge should find it, install itself into it, and bring in all the latest bug fixes and feature additions. Question on my left at the wall. Yes, thank you, Sina. So one of the other, Sunray is one way of having a remote network connection to solve the enterprise question and of delivering access anywhere to public labs, et cetera. But I'm remiss in not giving a plug to another session tomorrow at, I believe, 4:20? 4:25. In this room, North Carolina State has been looking at the very same problem of how do you deliver remote access to a Unix session. And the presentation tomorrow afternoon is several other techniques of doing that that don't involve Sunray, but still presumably a Sun server somewhere for delivering remote access for screen reader users. So please come here if you're interested in that topic tomorrow at 4:25. Question in the front row, the gentleman next to Lucy.
Okay, this is a stupid question, but that's because I don't know what I'm doing, maybe. I just tell that into things, and I'm pretty happy.
So the comment is, you know, he just telnets into things and he's pretty happy.
Yeah.
No, absolutely. There is a world of rich text applications in Unix that do everything from email to software development, on and on and on. Telnet works beautifully for that. If you have a graphical screen reader or a text screen reader, Copernicus or Orca or Braille TTY or SpeakUp that work well with terminal sessions, then Telnet is a great way to go. Absolutely. Not a stupid question. For users who want access to a graphical application like StarOffice, like Evolution for enterprise calendaring, these are all very good reasons why access to graphical apps is important. And remote access to those is also interesting and important. Other questions? Yes, toward the back, on the left, on the my left side of the room.
You mentioned that the boxes for Sunray will have a USB port. For Windows, Windows terminal sessions, will they support plugging in hardware such as scanners to run other assistive technologies such as OCR?
Right. What we are showing here is shipping Sunray server pre-release Windows session connection software. So I have to be honest, the Windows connection software is quite new. I only connected up with that team a few months ago and was delighted by how much worked and decided I had to show it here. But we have not gone all the way to connecting Windows peripherals and verify that that works yet. In general, if it works with a Windows remote session using RDP, it should work here, and it's certainly our goal that it work there. One of the things that I discovered, much to my disappointment, is that Narrator doesn't work on an RDP session at login. It doesn't work Windows to Windows at login, so that was why I couldn't get it to work on Sunray. And that's an RDP limitation. RDP also doesn't allow you to do sound in. So running something like Dragon Naturally Speaking on a Sunray session, we can't do because Windows Terminal Server doesn't support it. So as long as Windows Terminal Server supports it, we ought to be able to do it, and that's our goal. And if you'd like to become a beta tester, the Sunray Server Connector software is available for public beta. And it runs on the, did I mention free Solaris? That you can download and try as well. Other questions? I think we're coming to the end of our hour anyway. Thank you very much. I would encourage all of you. I encourage all of you to come by our booth if you want to play with these things further directly.
on the web at www.blindcooltech.com. Send an email to blindcooltech@gmail.com or leave a comment on our comment line at 206-984-9203.